And that little musical theme signals the burning question, where we have a go at answering a general health inquiry from you. This time round, it's about sunlight and vitamin D. It's from Jocelyn, and she says, I have fair skin and I try to prevent exposing my skin to sunlight in the hours when protection is recommended because the UV index is high. Is vitamin D available from sunlight outside those hours when there's high UV? Well, ABC health journalist James Bullen has been investigating for you, Jocelyn, and for all of us, really. James, first of all, vitamin D, what is it? Why do you need it?
Yeah, hi, Amanda. So vitamin D, it's kind of peculiar because it's a vitamin, and by definition, that's something we get in the small amounts of food that we eat. But it's also a little bit different because our main source of the vitamin D is actually through the synthesis of it in our skin. So it has this dual source. And to add to that, it's also sometimes called a pre-hormone because it's converted to a hormone in the kidneys and it acts to regulate part of the body's function just like a hormone does. But the identity crisis aside, it's important for its role in enhancing the small intestine's ability to absorb calcium from our food, and that's really vital for bone strength. And it also plays a role in keeping our muscles functioning. And when you have low levels of vitamin D, it can cause a range of conditions, and those include rickets, which is a childhood disease.
That's something that you think of in 19th century children.
Yes, where the bones soften and they can become misshapen, and in adults that's called osteomalacia. Osteoporosis, so thinning of the bones. And there's a little bit of evidence that low levels of vitamin D can predispose you to some cancers, including the breast, colon and prostate cancers.
Really? Gosh. Yes. All right. So who's actually most at risk of vitamin D deficiency?
There's a few different groups, and that includes people with very dark skin. So they have more melanin, and that can soak up UVB, so ultraviolet B, which comes from the sun's rays, and it prevents it being used to make vitamin D in our skin. Others are people who cover their bodies for religious or cultural reasons, and older Australians who might not lead active lives. They spend some of their time or most of their time indoors, and that includes older Australians living in aged care facilities. And the other thing is that as we live these increasingly sedentary lives and we have these long work hours, shift work, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, the wintertime at least, you can leave work when it's dark or get to work when it's dark and leave when it's dark and never see the sunshine.
Exactly. And there's some thinking that maybe there's a growing rate of vitamin D deficiency in the general population as well.
All right. Well, I mean, you can get vitamin D from some food, from fish and eggs, for example, but the best source is the sun. And yet, James, the very strong message as far as skin cancer goes and as far as aging your skin goes is stay out of the sun, you know, never mind that you are working all day and never see the sun. And then you find you are deficient in vitamin D. How much sunshine actually does give you enough vitamin D?
Yeah, that's the tricky thing. And that's what's led to so much debate around exactly what the level should be set at. But in terms of time in the sun, the best part of the day in summer is the mid-morning or the mid-afternoon. And you have to spend, if you have Caucasian-type skin, in the order of 5 to 15 minutes. So it's really not that much at all. And you don't have to have your whole body exposed. It's probably just, say, your arms and your head, about 15% of your skin exposed to soak up enough UVB to be getting those correct vitamin D levels. And obviously, if you have fairer skin, that would be less time. And darker skin, it can be quite a few minutes more than that. And then in winter, it's a bit more complex because it depends where you are in Australia. For those in the northern states, the advice about 5 to 15 minutes is the same, but you'd probably want to be going out at noon when the sun's a bit stronger. And for the southern states, it can be really, really tricky because it's very cold, you're covered up all the time and the sun's not so strong. So really the advice is whenever you can, go out for a walk, soak up a bit of rays, even if you roll up your sleeves, and then you might head back inside because it's so chilly.
I mean, what you do have to take account of in the summertime in places where there's daylight saving is, you say mid-afternoon, but, you know, that might actually, if you're in a daylight saving period, need to be a bit later in the afternoon. But from what I'm taking from you, and this is getting back to Jocelyn's actual question, is vitamin D from sunlight available, you know, at all times when the sun's out, even outside the hours when sun protection is recommended and because UV is at its highest?
Yes, and the answer is yes, though you'd want to be, in fact, you'd want to be outside of those hours as Jocelyn is doing, because then you have the balance, the risk of the skin cancer versus the benefits you get from vitamin D.
But you do get those benefits. You do get vitamin D from sunlight when outside of its, you know, when it's at its strongest.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, yes. Okay. Is there any link, James, between vitamin D deficiency and seasonal affective disorder, you know, given that the two are likely to come from not having enough sunshine in your life?
Yeah, and they both sort of arise in the winter months. But no, so there has been some research done into this, and what they really think now is that seasonal affective disorder isn't caused by a lack of vitamin D, but it's caused by a lack of visible light. So the way that that can be treated is actually like visible light therapy, where you are near a very, very bright light for some period of the day during the winter months, because when you have seasonal affective disorder, it can cause low mood and depression and things like that. But there's no real link, they think, between lower vitamin D levels that you might get in the winter months and seasonal affective disorder. They're two different things. They're both related to the sun.
So what about vitamin D supplements then, if you're not able to or don't want to be out in the sun for that little bit of time each day? Do supplements work? Should you have them with calcium or without?
Yeah, they do work, though the recommendation from the experts really is, unless you're in one of those at-risk groups outlined above before, so people with darker skin, older Australians, that sort of thing, you probably don't need them, and you'd just be much better off going for a quick walk to soak up some rays. With calcium, there was some good evidence in the 70s and 80s, so some research that looked at taking those two supplements together, which was promising in terms of maybe it leads to better bone health, that sort of thing. But more recent studies from 2015, 2016 have shown that there really doesn't seem to be that much of a benefit from taking the two supplements together, and it won't necessarily lead to better bone health. Again, you'd be better off getting your calcium from good dairy sources and then your vitamin D from the sun rather than taking the supplements.
Mm, okay. Can you get too much vitamin D? I mean, I sometimes wonder if I have been taking supplements as well as then getting a bit of sun, if I might OD on vitamin D. Is that possible?
It is possible. It's possible. It's tricky, though. So it's usually caused
by... Is it bad?
Yes. It's not good. Yeah, it's when you have really large amounts of vitamin D supplements is typically when you can overdose. You have vitamin D toxicity, and because when you get it from the sun, your skin does a good job of regulating how much you get. But if you're taking lots of supplements, and I mean like several pills a day for multiple weeks or months, then you can have too much vitamin D, and the main consequence of that is more calcium in your blood, which can cause nausea, vomiting, weakness in the body, and then that can actually become more severe and lead to bone pain and kidney problems, including kidney stones, which is very unpleasant.
Yuck. But if I had, say, one or two tablets a day and maybe also got, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of sun, I'd be okay?
I reckon so. You'd be in the healthy range, which they recommend. The Australian recommendation is 50 nanomoles per litre of blood. So that figure of 50 is a good place to be if you're getting a vitamin D test and see those results.
And in the healthy range is where I want to be. ABC health journalist James Bullen, thanks for helping shed some light on this area.
Thanks, Amanda.
And Jocelyn, thank you for your question too. Hey, now, to mix things up, in a fortnight's time, the burning question is going to focus not on health so much, but on sustainable living. So if you've ever wondered, for example, if you're really helping the environment when you buy carbon offsets, you know, when you book a flight, or you've tried to work out how you recycle green waste when you live in a high-rise apartment, these are the sorts of questions and problems we invite you to let us know about. If you've got that sort of sustainable living burning question, you can email it to us at lifematters@abc.net.au. Or you can record your question in a voice memo and email that. Same address, lifematters@abc.net.au. And we'll see if we can help you with it. But do continue sending us your burning questions on health as well. We'll keep covering those too here in Life Matters.